Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting night of NBA basketball.
With the first pick, the Detroit Pistons select Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State University.
Chandler again. Oh, what a block by Max Seal! My goodness!
The Pistons are digging in. They got the depth. They got the big man. They got the better basketball team. No doubt about it.
There's Jaden playing the passing lane. Skies a jam. Dynamite dunk, and the crowd loves it.
Pistons need a three, and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Phillips. Here it is. He's got it. He's got it. Chauncey Phillips hits the three. Overtime. Amazing.
On a bounce.
Pistons fans, what's going on? Welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast brought to you by Believe. Joining me is my good friend Jasper Apollonia this week. No Mike Angolano. He will be back next week. Early preview for next week's show. I will not be on the show, but Jasper and Mike will hold it down. But in the meantime, we're coming at you today to talk about the 9-game losing skid that the Pistons are on. The potential rotation changes coming after some recent quotes from Monty Williams and some reinforcements that could be on the way soon for the Detroit Pistons. But first, Jasper, my friend, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, Aaron. It's great to see you. If you're watching us on YouTube, we're recording with our faces showing for once. So either this is going to drive up engagement or our numbers are about to plummet right off a freaking cliff, man. It's one of the two. My girlfriend, I just shaved. She said I look like a pretty baby. So I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign, but it's certainly something. It's just nice to be talking with you here on this Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's just a tease for the future. We're not going to be on video just yet. We're testing some stuff behind the scenes, but we are going to be bringing you video to the YouTube podcast soon. It's coming down the line. So testing out some things today and working on some exciting stuff behind the scenes to bring that to you and make that possible. But we do have a lot to talk about, so I want to get into that. Before we do that, I do want to talk about our always sponsor, Bet Online. The last of the major pro sports leagues are off and rolling, and college basketball is getting going. They're ready to go as well. Bet Online remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, and NHL are all in full swing. Bet Online is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. All the hoops app action, along with every sport available at your fingertips, with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and remember to use our promo code BLEAVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, the code BLEAVE, B-L-E-A-V, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, so let's move into our first topic of today's show. And that is the Detroit Pistons losing streak. The team now 2-10 on the year. They started the season 2-1, have lost 9 straight, some ugly losses in that losing streak. And it's been a lot of bad stuff. It's been guys aren't hitting shots. The team isn't defending at the level that they supposedly want to be defending at. Yes, injuries have played a factor in it, but I certainly don't think that, you know, you can say, oh, they're losing, it's the injuries, it's not a problem. When you lose 9 in a row and you have your guy out there in Cade Cunningham and you have other key pieces still out there playing, I think it's something you got to talk about. Jasper, this 9-game losing streak, I mean, let's just open it up there. It's pretty much an open discussion. It's not been great, has it?
No, it's been the opposite of great. It's been really, really ugly at parts. And of course, this is something we're going to talk about later on in the show with certain players returning. But a big part of it is just the team as a whole is not performing well. You're trying to find some bright spots in here. It's really hard, to be completely honest with you. Jaden Ivey has been in and out of the lineup with injury, also with Monty Williams' decision to not play him as well. That's been a big part of it too. Alec Burks has been missing. He's only been on the court for the last three games. He was a huge part in the Pistons winning two of their first three games on the season. But yeah, it's kind of all fallen apart since then, and it's very hard to find positives. Cade Cunningham, I think, unfortunately, has been pretty disappointing at this point, and I think that that's something we have to talk about as well. How much of this is him? How much of this is spacing? How much of this is how he's being used as well? Because he looks exhausted in the second half of games. I believe it was Sam Vecenie who pointed out he's shooting something like 36%. In second halves this year. The guy just does not seem to have his legs underneath him, and it's hard to tell exactly what the reason for that is. That being said, also, there's very few people, especially with Jaden Ivey and Alec Burks having been out for a big stretch of these last nine games, there's very few players on the roster who can provide anything that can even come close to replicating what Cade gives you. There's been some tough battles. I mean, they fought really hard against Atlanta. I think you can make an argument that because of the Alec Burks three that was waved off, that should have actually been an and one. That played probably the biggest role in them losing that game. It was pretty much over after that. And they also played very, very hard against the Bucks. But that being said, it just has not been good enough. The turnovers are completely out of control. And the starting lineup that Monty Williams has rolled with for these first 11 games, we're hearing him now come out and say, hey, there might be some changes that need to be made to that. I think that's been pretty apparent since like game six, that this starting lineup is just not working. I tweeted about it yesterday. The NBA's worst offense overall this year is the Portland Trailblazers. They have an offensive rating of 104.4 points per 100 possessions. The Pistons starting lineup of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Duren, Asar Thompson, Isaiah Stewart, and Killian Hayes, offensive rating of 101.8 on the year. It's just not cutting it. And the arguments that you could make that, well, okay, you know, we knew the offense was going to struggle a little bit with these guys there, but we're trying to establish this defensive presence and this defensive identity. That lineup has a defensive rating of 112.6 on the season, which would put them exactly at 15th in the NBA. Now, obviously, when you're dealing with specific lineups versus overall how a team performs, there is going to be noise in there. But a lot of the arguments that you would have made in favor of this starting lineup just don't seem to hold up right now. So, yeah, Aaron, I think the first thing we have to get into is what is there to do about where the Pistons are at right now? Because it's just, it's ugly. Straight up, it's ugly. They're not winning games against bad teams. In fact, they're getting crushed against some bad teams. And while they're fighting against the better teams, they're losing those games too. And it doesn't seem like there's any immediate answers that are going to come unless a shakeup happens or the guys who are supposed to be returning soon make a bigger difference than they have at any point in their NBA careers.
Yeah, I think you look at the numbers for Detroit, and a lot of what we see is what's bared out in the numbers, right? They are still a very bad team in terms of taking care of the ball. They've improved from 30th in the league in turnovers per game to 29th. They are an average shooting team right now. They are bottom 10 in offensive rating and defensive rating. They're just not playing a great brand of basketball right now. And yes, the injuries to guys play a role. Like I tweeted about it earlier today. We haven't heard anything about Bojan Bogdanović since before the season started. You know, we found out a day or two before the start of the season that he would be, you know, reevaluated in 3 to 4 weeks. It's been 3 to 4 weeks. I think it's been three. I don't know. It's been a while, and we still haven't heard any sort of update about Bogdanovich. Meanwhile, we've heard a little bit about Monty Morris. We've heard a little bit about Isaiah Livers. We're going to talk about those guys later. But we've heard a little bit about those guys. We haven't heard about Bogdanovich, who was a 20-point-per-game scorer last year, was a 40% three-point shooter last year, was making a lot of plays with the ball in his hand, had a pretty significant role in the offense, and was expected to be a key guy this year alongside Cade Cunningham. Whether that's a good or bad thing that Bogdanovich was going to be a key guy, that's just the facts for the Pistons right now. The talk was he was going to be a key guy. That's why he signed that extension last season, because he was going to come back and Cade was going to be healthy and they were going to get a chance to play together and see what those guys could do with some other pieces around them, Duren, Ivy, et cetera, et cetera. But that's a big loss that they're playing without. And, you know, it's probably not great that Joe Harris isn't out there. I think Isaiah Livers will help. Again, we'll talk about him later. But even with those injuries, the numbers are concerning. And Jalen Duren's missed a handful of games. Jaden Ivey's missed some time. Alec Burks just came back. Like, they've been missing a lot of different guys. But the overall numbers don't bear out well for them. And even when Duren's played, even when Ivey's played, even when Burks has played, the numbers just still aren't great. So it does seem like some changes need to happen, specifically in the starting lineup. And that's what Monty Williams talked about today after Detroit's practice here on Thursday. He said he's looking at making changes to give Cade more space in the offense and in lineups. This quote is from Amari Sankofa, one of the Detroit Pistons beat writers, the quote saying from Monty Williams, I have to do a better job of allowing him to play in more space. I think I got to change up combinations with him on the floor so the paint isn't as crowded. I think that's going to free him up to see a lot more clearly, if you will. And I think he's right. I think changes need to be happened. It's why we were on the show in the offseason leading into the year saying, hey, we know the Pistons want to go two bigs. We kept Killian Hayes. Like, I know what their roster looks like. But if they're going to get the most out of their franchise guy, they need to build this roster and this lineup around him. And it feels like the Pistons have done the exact opposite this year so far. I mean, the numbers have gotten a little bit better just in that five-man starting lineup of Killian Hayes, Cade Cunningham, Asar Thompson, Isaiah Stewart, and Jalen Duren. Like, they're still a negative. They've gotten a little bit better. It's still not good, and that's a problem because it's your starting lineup. It's supposed to be your best fit group. Even if it's not your best quote-unquote players all playing together, it's your best fit of guys out there. And the numbers say a change needs to happen. 11 games in, it seems like the Pistons are starting to buy into the fact that, yeah, a change does need to happen. And I assume you agree with that, Jasper. What changes into that lineup, into any lineup? I mean, Cade doesn't just run with the starters, but what are the changes that the Pistons should be looking to make in their starting lineup and their bench rotations, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, first off, I think that's a really good point you brought up really quick that, you know, just because they're your starters doesn't necessarily mean it's always going to be your best lineup. But there's, I think, for example, of like Golden State, for many years, when they were that 73-9 juggernaut, their best lineup was not their starting lineup. It was with Draymond at the five and with Sean Livingston on the floor next to Stephen Curry as like the off guard and Clay playing the three. That was their best lineup. But the reason they had their starting lineup the way they had it was because they were trying to establish an identity and a way of playing when they first started the game. So I think that there is something to that. And I don't want to come on here and be like, oh, well, the Pistons starting lineup's the worst one, therefore they should put the best one on the floor to start the game. That's not how it should be. I think when we're talking about changes, though, it's twofold, maybe threefold. One, they need to get the guys back who are injured, and that's the most simple thing. Like you said, Bojan Bogdanovic was probably the Pistons' most important player last year. I think you could make an argument for Jaden Ivey, but truly, Bogdanovic was the guy that when they needed somebody to get their offense going, he was the guy who was there, and he was the guy who would calm them down when turnovers started happening. So much on the floor coaching happened because of him. And I think when you look at the Pistons, I mean, absurd turnover rate. Their starting lineup has a turnover rate of like 21%. That means more than one out of every five possessions, they turn the ball over. That's insane. It's completely unsustainable. And you need somebody to be the guy who steps in there and calms things down. Like you said, we don't know what the deal is with Bogdanovich right now. So it appears as if Monty Morris is probably the guy. I mean, you talk about somebody who doesn't turn over the ball. He has an absurdly low turnover rate, never averaged more than one turnover per game in his entire career, which is really impressive for an NBA guard. It does seem as though in the immediate short term, he's probably the guy who should be coming into the lineup over Killian Hayes. He's still a decent enough defender to where I think that works. And genuinely, like Asar Thompson, I know his on-off splits don't show it. That guy is the best defender the Pistons have. He's absurd. And I think that you need to find a way to make him work versus somebody like Isaiah Stewart, where there's things that you like, but like the numbers don't necessarily always bear it out. And the way that the team looks when he's on the floor doesn't necessarily always bear it out. What I think though, the second part of that equation is not just getting your guys back, not just maybe making that switch with Monty Morris into the starting lineup, seeing what Isaiah Livers can do in the rotation, but also changing up the way that you're playing basketball. The Pistons run some of the least amount of, they are the third least heavy transition team in the league. That being said, they are also above average in terms of transition offense. They're 55th percentile. On the other hand, they also run the seventh most pick and roll of any team in the league, despite being the fifth worst pick and roll team in the NBA this year. So I think that there's a lot of things that have to go into this. You have to change up the lineup. You have to get guys back healthy. But you also, for Monty Williams, you need to change the way you're playing basketball. I know that transition can often lead to more turnovers, but as of right now, this slow, methodical pace where you're, you know, trying to say, hey, we want to get our defense set, we want to run our offensive sets, it's not working. Because the second that you set your offense, teams immediately know, okay, Isaiah Stewart's in the corner, I'm not going to pay attention to him. Okay, Killian Hayes is in the other corner, I'm not going to pay attention to him. Cade Cunningham starting off ball, that's fine. I'm going to go behind any screen that you set for him, and I'm immediately going to get in his face because I know that I have help defense coming, even if he does beat me off the dribble. I think that there's a lot of different things that need to go into this equation, Aaron. I'm wondering for you, like, what do you see as being things that really need to change? Because I think there's a lot more than just, like, getting guys back.
You talked about the transition offense. My mind immediately goes to Jaden Ivey needs to be in the starting lineup. I mean, what he is capable of doing is very, very impactful for this team. There's no one else on this roster that can be as much of a transition threat, as much of a downhill threat like that as Jaden Ivey can. Just with his speed, his athleticism, his ability to jump and finish, he needs to be in the starting lineup. And in when Monty Williams alluded to changes coming, that is one that the first one that crossed my mind. They need to get another dynamic player in that starting group because, yes, Killian Hayes might do good things for you defensively, but he just has not proven on a consistent basis that he can get you 12 to 15 points a game on 45% field goal percentage, 35% three-point shooting. Like, he does a few things defensively well. I don't think he's a great defender. I think he maybe is a little even overrated in that regard. And his offense is just a problem. There are flashes. Yes, there are, but it's never consistent enough. And Jaden Ivey, in his minutes this year, I feel like he has been very, very productive and is doing things that the Pistons need. Even if it doesn't work, which I think it's a little bit crazy that the Pistons drafted Cunningham and Ivy in back-to-back years and drafted them to be a backcourt together, and we're not getting the opportunity to see it come to fruition, to see if it works, to even see if they messed up in the first place. Like, I can't imagine that they, from the, what, 10 games they got to play together last season, and then from training camp, I can't believe that was enough to make them say, okay, the number one pick and the top five pick from our last two drafts can't play together. We messed up. Like, I can't imagine that's the mindset right now. So in my mind, I think there's probably something going on behind the scenes. I don't know that for sure, so I can't say that as a fact, but you have to imagine that. But I think Ivy has to be given that opportunity to see if it works. He has to. I mean, he's just too dynamic of a player. You look at what he did last season in pretty much the role that Cade has this year, and you look at how effective he was as a rookie with the numbers that he put up and the efficiency that he put up, better than Cade Cunningham, by the way. And it just makes it so mysterious that he's in this role that he's pigeonholed in right now. I think the other change that has to come, and it's one that I was lobbying for before the season started, but Isaiah Stewart can't start. The 3-point percentage, it's dipped from the start of the year when he was shooting a hot ball, but B, he's not a floor spacer. Even if he shoots 35%, 36% from the 3-point line, he's going to be doing that on low volume, wide open 3-point shots. He's not taking those shots contested. He's not taking and creating them off the dribble. Like, he is just limited in that regard. And teams are defending him that way. They'll say, okay, we'll leave you open. We'll let you shoot 35, 36% because you're not going to, A, you're not going to be confident enough to take 8 threes a game. And B, you're not going to shoot 45% from the 3-point line all year. You're going to come back down to earth. And it just limits what Detroit can do offensively. And the numbers don't say that this lineup is good enough defensively to bear out the woes that they have offensively. So the tough thing is, what's the answer, right? No Bojan Bogdanović, you know, could they go small and start Cade with Ivy and Alec Burks and Ašar, mainly probably playing a lot of four there with Jalen Duren? You know, the answers maybe aren't necessarily present on the roster yet, at least not with all the guys that are currently healthy. But I think the Pistons have to look at some sort of change there. I think not one change, it's at least two. And it's obviously you're not bringing Cade off the bench despite the struggles. I think Ašar Thompson has made such an impact for this team defensively, more so than anyone else really can, that even with his offensive limits right now, he has to be out there. And you're not starting Marvin Bagley or James Wiseman over a healthy Jalen Duren. So in my mind, I think Killian Hayes and Isaiah Stewart are the odd guys out right now. And I think Detroit has to at least try some different combinations. If they don't work, fine, but you're 2-9, you've got to try something. 2-10, you've got to try something new.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I said it the other day, like, you know, move Stewart to the bench, move Killian to the, like, try Ašar at the four. What do you have to lose other than games? You're already losing games. And I agree with you as well. Like, look, those guys, I'm happy that they both are improving their efficiency in certain areas. I'm glad they haven't been complete disasters from that perspective. But they don't drive the offense. And that's one of those things, you know, a lot of people, I think about like when Devin Booker came into the league and people were like, oh, well, he's an inefficient shot chucker. But the thing is, you need guys who take shots. Listen to former NBA players. You know, the guys who they think are the best are the guys that put up shots, because that's the hardest thing to do in an offense is create your own offense, to create scoring chances when you can. You look at the type of looks that Killian Hayes and Isaiah Stewart are getting, they're wide open. They're end of clock. They're situational shots. They're not driving the offense. Killian Hayes is not beating guys off the dribble and finishing through contact when there's nothing else open on the offense. He's getting his jumpers when he comes off a dribble handoff or he has a wide open shot and he shoots it. And that's great. You need guys like that. But you can't build a starting lineup out of what? Four of the five guys in your starting lineup are that. Duren is not at that point in his career where he can create his own offense. He is a finishing big right now. He gets his offensive rebounds. He gets his lobs. He gets his, you know, dump offs under the basket when Cade drives. That's great. That's fine. Asar Thompson can't shoot the three ball. He has a nice little turnaround, but like, dude, Asar cannot be driving your offense right now. He's all over the place offensively. And then you look at the other two players. They also bring you nothing from a creative standpoint from in terms of their own offense. It's not surprising to me to see Cade struggle like this. And I do think that it's a twofold issue. You know, it is partial. There is part of it that's on him. But when you're surrounding him with four guys that cannot take any of the load off of his shoulders, and I know people will point to Killian Hayes' assists. I'm sorry, man. You're an NBA starting guard playing 30 minutes a game. You kind of should get five assists, especially if people aren't getting up in your grill and you're not taking a bunch of shots. Yeah, you should be getting assists. Pass the freaking ball. So for me, the starting lineup has to change. You need more offense in there. And like you said, you can't play Marvin Bagley over Jalen Duren. But guess what? Some of the Pistons' best offensive lineups this year are with Marvin Bagley and Cade Cunningham on the floor together. Why? Because Marvin Bagley, for all of his flaws, can create his own offense. He drives it. And I just think that you have to have more. And why I say that I don't think Monty Morris, while I do think he'd be an upgrade over Killian Hayes, why I don't think that that's necessarily the answer is because Monty Morris is just a 20% better version of Killian Hayes. He's not going to make a lot of mistakes. He's going to play hard, but he's not putting up 15, 20 points a night for you, even if you need him to. And I just say, like, with the Bogdanovich situation, I genuinely, dude, if he was out to the All-Star break at this point, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, genuinely would not be surprised because I have no idea what you're getting from that guy right now. They have to change up their play style. Like, and that's another reason why I think Killian Hayes and Isaiah Stewart have to exit the starting lineup and why you need to run more of Asar Thompson at the four and probably go small, like what you're saying, where you put Alec Burks and Jaden Ivey out there. Like, I understand the defensive issues that arise there. But Aaron, I mean, look, over his last five games, Jaden Ivey is playing 19 minutes per game. He's scoring 12 points per game on 54, 44, 80 splits. Like, he's so efficient scoring the ball right now, and you can ask him to do several things. I don't want him just standing in the corner, but guess what? If you have Jaden Ivey standing in the corner, he is a good catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. He is one of your best catch-and-shoot three-point shooters. So even if you're asking him to take, like, half of the responsibility that you should be asking your second-year guard that you took with the fifth overall pick and averaged six assists per game after the All-Star break last year, even if you are asking him to cut his role in half, guess what? He's better suited for that role than the guys you have out there right now. So to me, there has to be a switch-up. And maybe it's only one of Burks and Ivy entering the starting lineup. I'm okay with that, I guess. But you have to go small. I just think that when I look at it right now, that's the only tenable option the Pistons have because you have to be running more. You have to shoot more threes. They are still dead last in the NBA in three-point frequency. You just have to start putting up more shots. That's what bad young teams usually do. And then you learn the rest of it from there. If you're focusing on defense, but you can't play defense, then what's the freaking point, man?
Yeah, I mean, the starting lineup that they have out there right now is their, you know, quote-unquote defensive-minded group, and it's still a, you know, this team is still a bottom 10 defensive team, even with, you know, no Bogdanovich playing, no Joe Harris playing, guys that are considered to be negative defenders. And they're using a lot of defensive-minded lineups, and they're still a bottom eight defense in the league. So you have to try something new, even if the defense does suffer a little bit, because you can't keep pace with these other teams, with your defense not being great and your offense being really, really bad. And I do think, yes, we could see one change. I think we could see two changes in the starting lineup when, you know, I look at that quote from Monty Williams and he says, I got to switch up the combination so the paint isn't as crowded. That, to me, makes me think it's multiple changes. I don't know how much one guy changes the trajectory of the lineup. The numbers, they're limited right now, but they do get better when, you know, one of Asar Thompson or Killian Hayes is off the court and you put in Alec Burks. Like, that helps his gravity, helps his ability to knock down shots, helps his ability to score a little bit with the ball in his hands, helps in that regard. But I think long term, you would still have to think the hope is that Jaden Ivey can be that guy in the starting lineup alongside Cade. And, you know, I just don't buy Isaiah Stewart being the long term starting four. So I do think changes are coming. We've mentioned their names a few times as well, and this will kind of segue us into our final topic of the show today. But there should be some reinforcements coming for Detroit. You look at their injury report, it's lengthy. Five guys out right now. Bojan Bogdanović, Monte Morris, and Isaiah Livers, all guys that have yet to play this year. Joe Harris is out. And then Jalen Duren is back out after he missed a little bit of time with some bilateral ankle soreness. When anytime it's in both ankles, that's not a great thing. He came back, did not look great, did not look himself, and missed Detroit's last game against Atlanta. I don't know what his timeline is. He could be back for Detroit's game on Friday night. He might still
be. The problem, too, with the Duren ankles, that was an issue for him last year as well. Like, I do think that that's something you have to look at long term as a potential issue for Duren. I don't know if you're looking at it that way, but like, he missed games last year multiple times with ankle issues, and now it's again this year. I do wonder about
it. Yeah, it's not great. I mean, kind of have to hope he's just such a young player and he's playing such a physical brand of basketball that it's just his body trying to adjust and figure out how to maintain itself and its strength as he continues to play these minutes and play in these matchups. And, you know, it's something that the strength and conditioning team and the medical staff can figure out how to balance well with him. But it is concerning, no doubt about it, because he was off to such a strong start to the season. And then this issue arised and the numbers dipped. Sat out, and now he's back out again after just getting back from this issue. So it is a concern, but five guys out for Detroit right now. It does sound like reinforcements are nearing soon in Isaiah Livers, who fully practiced on Thursday, and Monty Morris, who's been a little bit more helpful with telling us where he's at in terms of tweeting, maybe more helpful than what we've heard directly from the Pistons. But he was as recently as this week playing in 3-on-3. You know, would imagine the next step is 5-on-5s and practicing. It sounds like we could be seeing both of those guys on the court here relatively soon. Maybe Livers a little bit sooner than Monty Morris, but for a team that just had to sign a wing to play minutes, and Kevin Knox was giving a two-way player minutes, and Stanley Amude, Isaiah Livers probably coming back and playing a role for this team right away. Jasper, what do these guys getting back in the fold mean for the Pistons? And, you know, does it significantly change the rotations we're seeing now?
I don't know how significantly it changes the rotations, but I do think it's crucial. Like, it's crazy that we're saying this about Isaiah Livers, who is a guy who has never been consistent for the Pistons, who has always been injured for this team, injured leading back to when he was at Michigan. It's always been a problem for him. But I think you even saw in that Atlanta Hawks game how much better the Pistons offense looked when Kevin Knox was on the floor, because he's a borderline NBA wing. And like, even with a borderline NBA wing out there, the Pistons offense flowed so much better. And like, I think it's actually kind of crazy that we haven't brought up Troy Weaver's name so far in this podcast, because the fact that Monty Williams is saying this at game 11, I think is such an indictment on Troy Weaver for the exact reasons that you and me and Mike and many other people have laid out for now going on 2 years, basically since when he signed Kelly Olynyk, and we looked at each other and went, this doesn't really make very much sense for the roster that you're trying to build here. Yeah, I mean, again, it's just like the fact that you have to rely on a player like Isaiah Livers at this point, and you're praying for him to get back into the lineup so he can provide you with any sort of lateral defensive ability, any sort of spacing from your power forward. I think it's quite an indictment on the roster that Troy Weaver has built here. What do I expect from him? What do I expect from Monty Morris? I think Monty Morris is basically going to be Monty Morris. He's going to be able to give you 10 to 12 points per game. He's going to give you 4.5, 5.5 assists. He's not going to turn over the ball. He's going to play hard defense. He's basically going to be, like I said, like a 20% better Killian Hayes. He's more dependable. He's more reliable. He's a better player, straight up. For Livers, I genuinely think that there's a chance that he has to step in and play like 25 minutes a game right off the bat. And I just, it's not because I believe in him so much at this point. It's because they just desperately need it. And I think especially if you're going to try some smaller lineups, I think that that's really the key. I also am hoping that Isaiah Livers re-entering the rotation is going to lead to something that I have and you have been clamoring for, which is Isaiah Stewart playing the five as a backup. I just don't see how you can make this offense work with a small forward and a shooting guard that don't shoot high volume threes or well from three, and also a power forward who doesn't shoot volume threes. Even if he is shooting a good percentage, he's still only shooting like 4 per game. It's not enough. So I think that Isaiah Livers has to re-enter the rotation and he has to be playing decent minutes for you. The problem is, where are you finding those minutes? Like, who are you taking them from? Because, you know, you think of somebody like Marvin Bagley, normally I'd be saying, hey, this guy's out of the rotation, but he's kind of been the Pistons' most consistent big man this year. And that's crazy to say, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, both of these guys do have to have a role in the rotation when they come back. The size of it yet to be determined. I'm imagining that they're going to have to earn some of that just from what we've garnered from Monty Williams so far. And I think rightfully so. But yeah, Livers is immediately a guy that, you know, if Kevin Knox does cool off, right, there's going to be minutes for the taking. I think if the team does make some changes and Isaiah Stewart's coming off the bench, you know, you could probably play him at the backup five if Jalen Duren's out for some extended time. You know, you can start Marvin Bagley, or they could start Stewart and keep Bagley as the backup five and play Stewart as the starting five. So there should be minutes for Isaiah Livers just with where the roster's at right now. Monty Morris, I think it's a little bit trickier. Like, he does need minutes. He's a really good backup guard. But who is he taking minutes from? Marcus Sasser has cooled off a little bit since kind of earning his way into a mainstay in the rotation. Killian Hayes is a guy that in my mind, I would imagine loses some minutes, but I don't know how the Pistons feel about that, considering he's currently starting and playing 30 minutes a game. You can't really cut Jaden Ivey's minutes and much more than they already have been. Cade Cunningham is playing the most minutes in the league right now. He could lose a few minutes here and there, but you're not taking him from 35 minutes a night to 28. Like, you're not, it's not going to be that drastic of a change. So it's harder to fit Morris into the rotation for me, but it feels like there has to be a spot for him somewhere. And for me, I think that comes from taking some of Killian Hayes' minutes, which I think already need to be slashed for more Jaden Ivey minutes. And, you know, if Marcus Sasser isn't playing great, maybe you have to take some of his minutes. I don't know. I just, he's got to get in the rotation somehow. This is something though that we talked about and heading into the season. It's like, you have Kate Cunningham, you have Jaden Ivey, you kept Alec Burks, you kept Killian Hayes, you drafted Marcus Sasser with a first round pick, and then you went out and traded for Monte Morris. So it's like you have six guys, all of them have a case for minutes, and how do you deal them out now? Like, yes, we could see some three-guard lineups. We could see Cade and Killian and Monte on the court together, but, like, it's not perfect, and there's just not – there's not enough minutes for how many guys that probably deserve minutes out of those six. It just gets hard for me to see how the rotation changes. And then with Jalen Duren back in the fold at some point, could be tomorrow, tonight when you're listening or watching, could be a week, could be 2 weeks, but with him back in the fold, with Bojan Bogdanović back in the fold, who's definitely getting minutes when he comes back, how does that rotation shake out? But for now, Isaiah Liver should have minutes of day one waiting for him, just with his ability to play either the forward spots, defend, talk, and shoot. I think that those are all very, very important things that this team needs right now. And then Monte Morris should play. I'm just more curious to see how Monty Williams manages the minutes when he gets back in the guard rotation.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think that that's even more of like making the argument for me that like they should be trying smaller lineups. I think you just, like you said, like I think you need to take a couple minutes from Cade, but that's what, 2-3 minutes a game? And those minutes should be going to Jaden Ivey anyway. So I don't even think that that, you know, I don't even think that, that plays out anywhere. I think that that's like a wash. I really think that you have to try Alec Burks at the three, Asar Thompson at the four, and Duren at the five, or Stewart at the five if Duren is out. I think you have to go small. And I also don't think it's a coincidence that like some of the games the Pistons have looked the most competitive in are the ones where they've actually been able to score a lot of points. I think the Bucks game, I think the Hawks game, it wasn't the case for the first game of the season against the Heat, but like, okay, they played really good defense in that game. Like, I'm not going to say they didn't, they were really good. But that hasn't borne out over the course of the full 11 games and the 10 games since then. I just think you have to give yourself something more offensively. And I understand that there are big downsides to playing a three guard lineup, you know, especially with Alec Burks out there, or, but you can get away with it. Like if you're putting Burks and Sasser and Cade out there as like your three, Asar at the four, Duren at the five, I think you have enough defensively to make up for the issues that you would be having with Burks as your three. I think Asar Thompson and Jalen Duren are good enough rim defenders where even if he gets blown by, you have something there. So I think that really the return of Livers and Morris and finding minutes for them. Again, this is not us saying like, oh, Isaiah Livers has to and will step into 20 minutes a game. No, this is us kind of spitballing and saying like, we understand what the issues are with this team. Here is maybe how he could fix them a little bit. Overall, however, I think you have to go small. I just don't see another answer at the moment, whether it's in terms of playing style. We talked about transition and the amount of three-point shots they're putting up, or in terms of finding minutes for the guys that need them. You have to go small. I don't see another solution at this point in time.
I agree. No, I think that's definitely the case, especially with where Detroit's at in terms of guys healthy and active on the roster. So I think that that's something we will see leaning into that Monty Williams quote as well. Next five games for the Pistons. The Cavaliers, if you're listening on the day of this episode's release, Friday night, they then have the Raptors, the Nuggets on Monday, Indiana, and Washington. trying to snap a big losing streak. When does that streak end? I mean, is it not until the 27th against Washington? Do they beat Washington? I mean, they need to get a win somewhere, just for morale's sake at this point. It still might be a few games away, though, when I look at this schedule.
I think that they are a better team than Washington. I will say that. I think the injuries and, honestly, a little bit of bad luck has definitely contributed. Like, the Pistons are a bad team. Don't get me wrong. Injuries, no injuries, good luck, bad luck. They should not have a winning record at this point. They should not even have a 500 record at this point. They are more of like a 4-7 team to me than they are like a 2-9 team, but that's not much better. Do I think they're better than Washington? Yes. Do I necessarily think they will beat them? I don't know. It's about a toss-up. And I think the fact that you're saying you're in a toss-up with Washington, a team that is actively tanking this year. They've made no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, they are just like, let's see what Jordan Poole can do. Let's see if we can get some trade value from him. Like, let's blow off Beal and Kristaps for whatever we can get for him. I think the fact that you're talking about this team that was supposed to take a leap this year, and that's not us. That's coming from the Pistons themselves. I still remember those podcasts from 2 years ago when Cade Cunningham was on them, from last year, I should say, and they were talking about how we're trying to compete for a play-in spot, and next year we're competing for the playoffs. They are nowhere close to that, man. So I'll say Washington. I don't know. Maybe Nikola Jokic looks at Isaiah Stewart in a mean way and gets tossed like Giannis. That's about the only way I could see him beating the Nuggets. I don't know. Maybe Jokic takes one of his horses and does a lap at halftime. I can't imagine why else they would beat the Nuggets. It's hard to see wins right now. It really is, healthy or otherwise.
Yeah, it is. And I hope that's not the case with Jokic. I'll be at the game Monday covering it. So I'm hoping to get to see the two-time MVP in action. I was actually fortunate enough to be at the game last year when the Nuggets were in town. And, man, he's great on TV. He's even more special in person. And that Nuggets team just plays such a good brand of basketball around him. So,
Aaron, was that the one where Durin threw, like, three lobs to Wiseman?
Oh, they did play together that game. Yes. There
were, right? I'm thinking that was that game, right?
You know, I think I tried to remove the memories of seeing James Wiseman and Jalen Duren on the court together from my mind. So that just opened up a Pandora's box of memories that I really don't want to get back into.
It's like when Will Smith gets his memory back in Men in Black 2 after getting wiped after that. Men in Black 3 after he gets his mind wiped in the second one. Yeah, sorry about that. I'll be your Tommy Lee Jones.
Well, that was a good show. We covered a lot there. It all stems from the losing streak, the rotation changes that seem to be coming potentially to the starting lineup, and then some reinforcements that are much needed for Detroit on the way. It all kind of ran together, which I think worked nicely, but that is going to do it for this week's show. Again, next week going to be probably an earlier release, probably looking at Wednesday. I'm not imagining that I'll be on the show. You'll be with Mike and Jasper, but should be some good stuff. A few games in between now and then, three games between now and the next podcast as of when we're planning on releasing. So hopefully some new stuff to talk about, maybe a new guy or two back in the fold for the Pistons. But that is going to do it for this week's show here on the Palace of Pistons podcast, brought to you by Believe. Make sure to check out our content on palaceofpistons.com. We've had some great articles come out recently from Dylan Edenfield and Mike Angulano. I also had a piece on the Motor City Cruise, who just started up the season over the weekend. So a lot of stuff to read up all about. Make sure you're following us on socials as well, at Palace of Pistons on X. You can follow me there at AJohnsonNBA and Jasper at Blade Cunningham. So make sure to follow us there, read along, keep listening to the show. Love the support. Loved all the comments in the YouTube section last week on the show. You guys had a lot to say about Jaden Ivey, about Kate Cunningham, about the rotations. Keep that stuff up. Love hearing what you guys have to say, your opinions, your thoughts. And Thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of the Palace Pistons Podcast. I'll see you guys next week.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.